Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by Pregnant Together, a virtual community for queer folks, solo parents, and anyone who's ever felt outside the box through the process of creating your family. Check them out at pregnanttogether.com and get your first month free by clicking the link in our show notes for this year's episode.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Listen, let's do this. Let's go through all the different ways that we can make families as queer people, right? Let's see.
Are you going to have pictures? Are you going to show me videos to help me understand?
They're not very exciting. They're very scientific and also just like include lawyers and shit. It's not fun. Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, y'all. The show all about family, but with gay. My name is Jamie and I'm your host. And you, my beautiful friends, are tuning into the show whose mission is to celebrate, uplift, highlight, and normalize LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And yo, this episode does not disappoint on this front. I had the extreme pleasure of sitting down with Kay Anderson. Kay is a fellow podcaster of the Lost Spaces podcast, and it's a podcast all about those lost queer spaces that you used to go to in your youth but don't exist anymore, like lesbian bars. What happened to the lesbian bars, y'all? It's like far and few between nowadays. But I was on his show a while back, and now Kay is on mine because we thought it would be a really great idea to have Kay come on here and talk about the fact that he doesn't have kids at this point, and he's really not sure if he wants to. I imagine that there are many of you who tune into this here show who started listening for this very reason. You wanted to see, is this something I want to do? If I do it, how do I want to do it? Because as you know, we have so many choices to make when we decide we want to have babies. And do I really want to go down this joyous, tumultuous, chaotic, dirty, messy, so tiring path of creating a family the queer way? Did I say joyful? I meant to say joyful. So joyful. So Kay came on so we could have this discussion, and it turned into we did a deep dive. Kay is a podcaster and an interviewer, so he really turned the tables on me, started asking me all these questions. What started out as a, if you wanted to do it, what path would you take, Kay? And do you want kids conversation turned into a whole conversation about nature versus nurture and the non-bio connection versus the bio connection. And how much does biology really, we went deep, y'all. You know, I have one kid that I'm biologically connected to and another kid that I'm not. And I do have many, many thoughts in my head, which is so, it's unique to our families. It's something that needs to be discussed more. And I know so many of y'all have reached out to me asking, can you talk more about, you know, the non-bio parents' perspectives and the feelings that come up? And I want to all the time, but I can't fit it into every single episode. So I'm really glad that this conversation took a turn towards that. And I hope some of you get something out of it. And in the name of community, before I roll the tape, or before Nicole rolls the tape. Ooh, and you know who's trying to figure out if she wants to conceive? Throwing you under the bus, Nicole. Nicole is trying to figure it out. So this is for you, Nicole. But anyway, in the name of this whole thing, you know, so many of you reach out to me and say, thank you for creating this community. Can you do more episodes on this non-bio connection? Can you do more episodes on postpartum? Can you do more, you know, all these, you all reach out to me and we have created a beautiful community. But I do want to take a second to highlight Pregnant Together, the virtual community that is sponsoring this season, because I think it's just such a wonderful, wonderful resource for so many of you. I can't fulfill all of the requests I get from you, but I think that this Pregnant Together community could fill many gaps. I'm so glad to be partnering with Mireya Goodman, who created this space. Mireya is a queer midwife, also a previous guest on the show and author of Baby Making for Everybody. So they're like just such a wonderful resource. I went in and checked out Pregnant Together, and they have so many events, even just coming up this coming month, that I think many of you would love. Let me just tell you, like April 2nd, which is very soon, it might have already passed if you're listening to this later than the release date. They're having a non-gestational parents support group who, boom, I feel like I need to go into that. I might see you all there. I might be using my free month that I get through the Queer Family Podcast to be a part of that community, because there's a lot of things we need to discuss as non-gestational parents. A lot of things come up. And then they're also having a exploring known donor relationships workshop. So many of you have reached out to me to talk more about known donor relationships, as specifically as it pertains to as your kids get older. This is such a great opportunity to get into a group that is a community where y'all can talk and discuss known donors. And I think it's great. So that's coming up on April 9th. There are so many other, you know what else is coming up in this group? There's going to be a queer sex coach called, and it's the workshop is called Pausing for Pleasure while trying to conceive or pregnant and postpartum, which I'm 6 years out. I'm still postpartum. We all need some of that. We all need some of that. So that's coming up too. There's so many great resources in there. So go check it out. You get your first month free in the link in our show notes. If you listen to this show, you can go in, check it out for free, try some of these workshops. If it doesn't work out for you, you can quit and you don't have to pay anything. But if you like it, you can stick around and join all the other cool things they have. I really just am so glad that Mireya reached out and is sponsoring this here show. And I think y'all should check it out. You can also pay for it if you decide to stay with your HSA or FSA benefits, which is also awesome. So anyway, I just wanted to take a long moment to highlight Mireya and the good work they're doing over at Pregnant Together. Go join it. Go check it out. It's a really great. And you might see me in some of these workshops. I need help. I need therapy. I'm going to use that as therapy. Anyway, okay, I'm going to roll this tape. I've been yammering on long enough. Have fun with this episode with Kay and I. We had a great combo. Helen, Beulah, my beautiful assistants who don't have kids and spend all their time at any bar they can find, and my real assistant, Nicole, who actually exists. Please roll that tape. Love y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Kay.
Hello.
Oh, Kay, I am so happy to be back with you chatting.
Sorry, I'm like terrified of what you're going to ask me. I'm not used to being the person who is asked questions.
So I know. It's really so funny because everybody at home or wherever you are in your cars, Kay has interviewed me. I was on Kay's podcast called Lost Spaces, which is a really great podcast. If you haven't checked it out, you should. It was actually, I played it as a bonus episode a little while ago too. So if you haven't checked it out, you need to go check it out. But it's just funny that you're nervous to me because we already chatted and you're like a seasoned professional with the interview thing. So I guess the tables are turned and that's what's making you nervous.
Yeah, it's not being in control. As soon as the control is taken away, I'm like, ah.
All eyes on you. Well, that being said, Kay, why don't we, just to put you on the spot even more, why don't we launch right into that 30-second elevator pitch of you telling us who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. On your mark, get set, go.
So I am Kay Anderson. I host a podcast called Lost Spaces, which is all about lost queer venues and the memories that they hold. Only it's not really about that at all. It's about the experiences of people that have been in those spaces. And I get to grill them and find out all about their queer coming out journey and what having access to community has meant to them. And I am here today to talk about family and my weird relationship with the notion of me starting a family, I think.
Boom. That was amazing. That was so good, Kay.
I ran over.
Like,
I'm sorry.
Like half a second. Like half a second. That was good. Listen, I have guests who the elevator pitch turns into the entire episode. Like it just never ends. So that was brilliantly done. I love it. And when you say you get to like, what were the words you just used? Grill people?
Grill.
You get it. Okay. You asked questions I was not prepared for. Like you made me go deep. In the episode where I talked about my, it became an episode about me, my coming out and like all my issues as a person.
That's what I love.
I really did. I had some revelations during your interview. I don't think we're going to go that deep here with you, but we'll see.
You never know. I might be in an oversharing mood today.
Okay, let's take it back. So for all those at home, just so as you know, Kay does not have children at this point, and we don't know if Kay's going to have children. So that's what we're going to dig into during the episode. But before we dig into family and all the stuff that comes with that, can we take it back to like baby Kay or little Kay?
Oh, yeah.
When you figured out who you were, or when you began to figure out who you were and the journey to where you are now. Like let's get your biography. Here we go.
Just something easy. Tell me about your period from being 13 to today. Go. Okay. I am one of those people who grew up being told by the external world at any opportunity, you're going to grow up to be gay. And so I always had this thing hanging over me like, oh, all these people identify this in me. Is it a thing? Is it not a thing? I hadn't really thought too much about it in that way. Like I'd always, you know, my knee-jerk response was always, oh, no, of course not. That's not going to happen. But it was something that I guess I was familiar with as the way that people perceived me. And even my mum would always launch into these weird speeches with the family, like I have two siblings, and be like, listen, if any of you are gay, that's totally fine with me. I just want to put that out there. No reason. Just want to say that. And so I kind of had that happening like from maybe like 7 or 8.
Oh, wow. Why do you think? Why? Why did everybody perceive you that way?
Well, because my family's not very good at subtlety, if we're talking about my mum, first of all. But otherwise, like, I was just a flamboyant, a faggy. I was going to say faggy. Yeah. Is that okay?
It's totally okay. You're saying it and not like some hillbilly.
I'm allowed to.
Who doesn't like the homosexuals, then it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, so I was just a faggy kid, and like I was interested in what I was interested in, and that happened to not align with what everyone else. Oh no, not well, maybe theater. I get really funny about musical theater. I'm like, no, definitely not musical theater. I have some kind of weird prejudice there. I was interested in dolls, and I was interested in TV shows that were targeted to females, and yeah, just kind of the stereotypical things that you would expect.
So everybody was picking up on the gay vibe, but you weren't.
I think it's that difficult thing. Like, you know, I talked to people who were like, yeah, I knew from the age of 3 that I was gay, and I just knew, and like, it was just sat with me and I knew, but I didn't. I'm not that person. I hadn't developed into my sexuality at all. So I just didn't think about it. I don't remember thinking, oh, it would be the worst thing in the world if I was gay. I hate gay people, you know, even though I was socialized in a world that taught me that that's what I should think. So it was just kind of a neutral thing. It was just this thing that people always told me, and I knew they thought about me, but I didn't rally against it, or I didn't necessarily embrace it either.
Sounds like it was just like this kind of like gray area to the side that just loomed over you. You know what? I think I'm kind of similar too. I think what you said, like, kind of came down to the fact that I just, like, my sexual identity didn't form. It wasn't something I thought about until later.
Well, it fascinates me that people know when they're, like, before they've gone through puberty, or that before they just know. That's, yeah, something that baffles me, but yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, you know, those like little 6-year-old girls who have crushes on boys already. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I guess right away. I didn't know who I was attracted to till I was older.
But is that performative? Like, is that what, are they playing out what they think is expected of them?
There is something to that, of course. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I mean, we could dig into that for days and probably still not know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you finally started coming into yourself, how old are you and what happened?
I think I was 12. I should know this. Everyone like talks about their coming out story. I should know the age.
Also, you ask people constantly.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I'm not used to people asking me. So I'm like, well, I don't know. I was some age. Yeah, I was 12. Let's say I was 12. So I was starting to go through puberty. I grew up in Australia. Sorry, just to put that out there. There was this TV show on in Australia about called Fire, and it was about people who worked in a fire station. I think it was called Fire. It was some like stupid, terrible, horrible thing. Anyway, there was this male firefighter. I don't know what the plot of this episode was. Something happened where some stripper that had been booked didn't show up, and so he had to do the strip act for everyone, even though that wasn't his job, and he did it perfectly, even though he'd never done it before.
Of course.
And I don't know if I saw the TV episode at all, but my mum in her like women's magazines had, there was an article in one of them about this episode, and it had photos of him. And for some reason, those photos were of interest to me. And so I read that magazine quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I still hadn't quite put the pieces together, but I do remember a Monday morning going to school and sitting down on the grass and being like, oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was it. I had come to the point where I was like, yeah, I'm gay. That's a thing. That's a fact. But I was also like, I am in a suburb of Adelaide and I don't have access to other gay people as far as I know. So there's not really anything I can do about this. It's just a fact of like who I am, but there's no way for me to go out and practice. Mm-hmm. So I just need to hold tight for the next few years and just see this, like see school through, get to the point where I finish school, maybe go to university, maybe get a job, maybe move somewhere and go and be like a full-on homosexual in another city. And so that was kind of my plan at that point. Everyone that I went to school with, as I said, like recognized it in me and was like, yeah, you're gay. But there was no need for me to talk about it or demonstrate my gayness because there was no opportunity.
If you're not practicing, what's the point of talking about it, I suppose? Yeah.
Yes, it was kind of that.
Huh. Speaking of planning and the planner that you are, I would think that once you had the realization, oh, okay, I'm gay, did you think about family? Did you think, like, if I want to be a parent someday, I'm going to have to figure out how to do that? Did that ever pop into your mind as a planner?
This is something I need to unpick and relearn for myself. But I'm kind of one of those people who is very pragmatic to a fault. Uh-huh. And I think for me, at the point when I realized I was gay and at the point that I was like, okay, so the path of my life may not be what others expected of me, I accepted a lot of the things that were commonly accepted at that point. So I was like, well, then that means I'm not going to be able to get married. That means I'm not going to be able to have kids. That means that my life is going to look different to my heterosexual counterparts. And I just internalized that and got on with things rather than thinking, how can I get around this?
You're not alone in that. You're not alone in that. And that's like, this is one of the main things that comes up time and time again in my show is that, you know, from that moment when you have the realization and you really fully embrace the fact that, okay, I'm an L, a G, a B, a T, a Q, an I, an A, a plus, a 2S. When you really have that realization, then there's a moment where some of us go to planning mode of, oh, okay, well, if I want kids and I do want kids, do I want kids? Yes, I want kids. Okay, I'm going to have to get creative. And we start thinking about how we would potentially go about making our families, or many of us are very much like you and just kind of like shut it down. That's it. No, this is the way it is. And then we get on with it. Right. And then there's a lot of times where it'll be like a couple where one of them always knew they were going to try and they were going to do it this way or this way, you know? And then the other one in the couple had to like come to a new realization. Oh, wait, I have to open up that trail of thought again and see if this is something that I would actually even want, and then go down the path of, okay, how would I do it? A lot of times it happens in a partnership. My wife, for example, was like you, like she was like, that ship has sailed. It's not happening for me. And then I was like, well, I want to, you know.
And what Jamie wants, Jamie gets.
Basically, basically what it is. So where are you with that now?
And I think that's the fascinating thing about it, is that I continue to be a person who's like, no, I don't really want to start a family. No, I'm not really interested in that. But it's really hard to unpick whether that's because of what I've been told and I've just kind of accepted that and now that's part of my identity, or whether that's just the case and it would have been that way anyway.
I really wanted to have you come on and talk about like the idea of, okay, I just might be a person who really doesn't want a family, which is totally 100% fine. And not just fine, great. And good for you for knowing that and living your life the way you want to lead it. And I think that this is a really important conversation to have, because not everybody out there wants to be a parent. And it is not the end all be all to have a family. That is not the goal of life. And so often, I mean, because this is the family podcast, I'm always talking about, ooh, how'd you do it? And how much did you want it? And there are folks out there who just, it's not in the cards, and that's okay too. I think that it's worth unpacking that and getting to know both sides.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that, I mean, this is, you know, a hark back to my show where I just ask people to ponder things that they could never possibly know. But I think it is this really fascinating thing, like how many of our choices are our choices and how many of our choices are just what we're pre-programmed to make. And yeah. That sounds so stupid. But
no, it doesn't at all. Now I want to ask, like, do you have in your sphere of folks that you are around on a day-to-day basis, do you have queer parents that you hang out with?
No.
Do you don't see queer families very often in your world?
No. Right. No, and I don't see children very often. So I live in London, and the thing about London is that as soon as anyone's like, I want to start a family, I want to start like being serious about my life, they're like, I'm going to leave London. And so anyone that I know that started a family lives somewhere else. And I'm like, I don't want to come and hang out with your kids. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah, no, why would you? I wouldn't at all. Like, that is not a vacation. So the question of, is this something I really want, or is this just something that has been kind of just put on me from the world and the expectations that I'm around? It is an interesting idea. What's your gut thought if you were to meet someone? I don't know. I don't even know if you're dating someone right now, but let's say you were to meet somebody who really, really, really wanted to have a kid in one of the many ways we do it as queers. What do you think you'd do?
I mean, there's so many different ingredients that go into that conversation, right? So it's really difficult to respond to. I think, like, and this is kind of not answering your question, but kind of answering your question. If I met someone who had a kid, I would probably be like, okay, well, I'll make this work. Mm-hmm. But if I met someone who was like, let's make a kid together. Mm-hmm. And that's the difficult thing. Am I just terrified of making a decision? But if a decision's foisted on me, then I'm fine with like just going along with it.
Let's do this. Let's go through all the different ways that we can make families as queer people, right? Let's see. Let's see.
Are you going to have pictures? Are you going to show me videos to help me understand?
They're not very exciting. They're very scientific and also just like include lawyers and shit. It's not fun. but let's talk about it. So let's say, so the first option would be, you know, like you're in love with this person and they want to go down the surrogacy route. Like they want to make a baby genetically and they want to make it with your genetics. How does that feel?
Why not theirs? They want it.
Because that's the next one I want to ask.
Oh, okay.
Like, I want to see how every single option like sits in your heart. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, okay, which okay. one,
if any of them like pull you in any way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. So the knee jerk to that is you're the one that wants the baby. It better be your DNA.
Yeah. Your DNA.
Not mine. Theirs.
Oh, your knee jerk is okay. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. All right. Interesting. Okay. So that takes away the second one, which was going to be, okay, I want to do it, but I want my DNA. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's surrogacy. What if they came to you and said, I want to adopt. I've always wanted to adopt. And I know that there are children who could use two wonderful people as parents like us.
I'm more inclined towards that.
Interesting. Huh. Okay. What if they were to say, I want to adopt, but I want to adopt an older child. I want to adopt a child who has been in the system, so to speak, and really needs a loving home.
I don't feel particularly different to how I feel about just adopting. It could be any age, yeah.
What if this person said, basically, I want to foster. I want to be a foster parent. Mm-hmm. And I want to welcome children who really need homes into our homes until their birth parents can bring them back home or whatever the situation is. I want to foster.
How rich is this person that I'm in a relationship with?
Let's say they're rich. Let's say they have all the money in the world.
Okay. And how many bedrooms do we have in our house?
You have enough to foster. Let's say that.
Okay. And we have a cleaner?
Yeah, you're rich. Okay, so I see there are a lot of stipulations that would go with this. Which makes sense. But these are the things that... So this is my way kind of illustrating for everyone listening how many decisions and thoughts we as queer folks have to go through when we start thinking about family.
These particular ones, they're not on top of... They're not different to thoughts or conversations that heterosexual people would have to have.
That's true. They could have them, but I think they have them a lot less.
Okay. But if they were talking about fostering or adopting, these questions would come up, I guess.
These would come up as well. Yes, yeah. Totally. I think that just the difference here is like from the get-go, from the start, when we start thinking about families in the LGBTQIA+ community, all options are on the table. In the beginning, you look at, wow, we could do it all of these ways. Which way do we want to? Whereas when non-queer people get together, fall in love, the societal expectation and just the, you know, what is expected is they're going to make a baby their own way. They have to think outside the box to do something else, to do something different. Mm-hmm. Not everybody does until they're forced to.
Yeah,
and then they need to come listen to shows like mine so they figure out how to make sense. And that's not even all of the choices that have to be made when it comes to queer family building, you know? Let's take it back, though. So if it were a foster situation, there would have to be a lot of specifications met before that would be
done. I need a shirt. I would need.
And how about just being a gunkle? A gay uncle.
Oh yeah, that's grand. Like that's, yeah. I mean, depending on the expectations put upon me. But like, I like kids. I like hanging out with kids. Yeah, it's not an aversion to being around snotty little messes.
But it's a definite no to carrying on your genetics.
Yeah, I don't have any like pull to carry that on. I'm not like putting anyone down when I say this, but I don't understand the headspace of people that are like, oh, it has to be my genes. It has to be my DNA.
No, I get that. And you're also not alone in that. That's why there's so many in our community who choose the adoption route or the foster to adopt route or other paths. You're totally not alone in that. I happen to be one of those people who thought that it really mattered having a genetic tie, and turns out doesn't at all because I have two kids, one of which I'm related to genetically and one of which I'm not. And it's all the same anyway. But it took me a long time to get to a point where I embraced that idea, which is kind of ridiculous too.
And is that because one of the children that you housed? What's the word? You
housed, like that I birthed?
That I housed? Yeah, that you just like hung out with for 9 months and then your partner did the same but with the other one.
Yeah, in reverse order. She had our oldest and then I had our second. We each share a genetic tie to one child, which makes for funny, interesting stories. But that's a whole nother.
Oh, because of like the nature nurture thing.
Yes, that's huge. And I would be lying if I didn't think about that more than I wish I did. If I didn't think about, am I so angry at her right now because of that genetic thing? Like, am I there? Those thoughts come into my brain a lot, which is something that's also unique to families like ours.
Yeah, yeah. But like, what a fascinating experiment. And sorry to talk about your family as always an experiment, but like, you know, to be like, wow, is my kid neurotic because of my DNA or just because they hang around me a lot?
There is that. And then there is also like blaming yourself. Like my wife is always, when our daughter does something that is no good, you know, like a temper tantrum or whatever, it affects my wife very deeply because she thinks she gave it to our daughter, right? Yeah. She blames herself. Whereas if it were a couple where we each had a genetic tie,
you'd be blaming each other.
Exactly.
Rather than yourselves.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we can blame the donor because that's a whole unknown entity right there, you know? But since he's not around and we don't think of him as often, you usually just blame the parent who birthed the kid, you know? So it is interesting.
But you're not blaming her, are you?
I mean, sometimes. We do have jokes, though, in our little family, too. Like, her whole entire family, that side, the Woods, they have, like, the best immune systems in the entire world. They're also, like, all daredevils. And I don't know if you ever saw that video about the honey badger. And it's a guy narrating. And it's like, honey badger don't care. Honey badger don't give a fuck. Because honey badgers are ruthless. And they'll, like, get eaten. They'll get, like, bit by a snake and then come back at the snake after it already, like it's, like, honey badgers are crazy. And nothing can take them down. So we have this joke that the Woods, they're like honey badgers. Like honey badgers don't give a fuck. They don't get sick. They don't, you know, like, so that side. And then my side, we get sick. And when we're sick, we're like down for the count. And my son is the same as me. And we're like such wimps about it. And so we have this like running joke that it's like, oh, there they go. There's the honey badgers over there. And uh-oh, mama's sick. Get ready. You know, like it's like this whole, the DNA against one another sometimes and make it a joke. At least we do it in our family. It's just like a funny thing we do. And I feel like any outsiders hearing us joke about this stuff might be horrified that we joke about the two DNA differences, you know, and what it represents. And it's just a funny thing that only gay people understand, I feel like.
But are there any traits that are your partner's that you see come out in your son and vice versa because of them spending lots of time with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. And that is what, and that's when your heart gets warm the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you see, well, first, one thing that started happening right away, my son was like more drawn to my wife than to me after I gave. Like as he was getting older and starting to, you know, express himself, and he would like go to my wife, he would go to her instead of being upset by that, which I would have if it was my daughter going to her. I was like, I was really happy that he was choosing her because they're not genetically tied. And so it was like this very heartwarming thing to me. And he goes to her a lot. Like we do our best to really like be totally 50-50 with the kids. Like there's no parent who does more. It warms my heart that they still both will go to both of us. However, if my daughter were to choose Anne over me more than not,
yeah,
it would break my heart because I don't have that genetic tie to her. And I would start to, in my head, spiral into a place where, okay, well, it's just because she doesn't get me. We don't get each other because we're you know, because you can go there. You can start thinking those things.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird thing. And it's hard to even like put into words or talk about. And also, it's a scary thing to talk about because you don't want to say something that people might construe as you hating on the kid that you didn't give birth to or vice versa, or that you're going to say something about your kid that they're going to hear someday and there's some bad things about your kid. You know, it's hard to talk about this and it's family dynamic stuff. It's very complicated, but my daughter does also, I'm really like, I'm a hug person. I'm a cuddler and my wife is not. My daughter, who has the woods honey badgers in her blood, is also a wonderful cuddler and a hugger and very affectionate.
Oh, so you're like, I got something you want.
Nurture's a thing. It really is. It's interesting. Mm. But anyway, we weren't supposed to talk about me, but we're talking family. No, I told
you
I'd do this.
I would turn it around on you.
I know. I love that though. But that's the thing though. And that's what comes with these conversations, especially for our community. When it comes to conversations about families and deciding if we want to or not, these are things you have to think about. These are the things you have to ponder. Like, will it bother me if I don't share the DNA with my child and then they don't like me?
I'd be totally fine if my kid didn't like me if they had my DNA. But if they're not...
It's different. You know, it's so silly to say, but it is different.
Oh,
if the kid I don't share DNA with turns out to not like me, which could still possibly happen. She's not a teenager yet. If she starts me, right, I've got so much time to make her hate me. But, you know, if she starts not liking me, there's an extra layer to that for me.
And so you think you haven't grown out of that extra layer? You haven't moved beyond it?
I probably need therapy. I mean, I probably need therapy. I should go to therapy. We should all go to therapy. I need a therapist. I should talk all this shit out. It's true.
That's why I started a podcast, because it's cheaper.
This is my therapy. Exactly. You're my therapist right now, Kim. And so your first thought was, nope, I don't want the genetics. I don't care about the genetics. I don't even understand why you would care about that.
Well, yeah, because I'd be like, well, as soon as they hung out with me, they'd love me. Like,
I mean, who couldn't? Who wouldn't? Okay, exactly.
Yeah, just give me any child, shape them in my image. That's a scary thought. Sorry.
And you're still young, and the beauty is, you know, you are somebody who contains sperm in your body, so you could do this. You could do this for many, many years. Whereas my ship has sailed; it's done. So I had to figure it out earlier than you.
That's another interesting dimension that I never have to think about, really, in terms of like, okay, if I want to do this, I'm going to have to make a decision. I can just hang about until I'm like Keith Richards or something and just like, yeah, right, okay, 73, I'll have another baby. Cool, let's go.
Yeah, you could. I mean, it'll probably kill you, but I wouldn't recommend that to anyone because I can't even handle it when I'm in my 40s and I'm so tired.
Well, about the beautiful thing about Keith Richards is he will have that chauffeur, he will have the cleaner, he will have the chef. So it's probably kind of easy for him.
And from what it sounds like, that's how you would do it too. So
that would be the ideal. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think the point of this episode really is just that, like, there are so many different types of families in this world, and I'm sure you have a whole chosen family over there that gives you everything you need. And not everybody needs a child to complete their family. And I think that is important to note. It's not for everyone.
Sometimes a cat will do, or several.
Do you have cats?
I foster, so there's no cat here at the moment, but yeah.
Foster all the way. Here it is. Oh, interesting.
Which is why I'm kind of scared about fostering, actually, because some of the cats come and it's like, yeah, this is grand. Let's be friends for the next 3 weeks until someone adopts you. Some of the cats, it's like, please just find a way to escape this house and never come back.
Yeah, that's the thing. You never know what you can get. But that's the same thing with even your genetically related kids. You never know what you're going to get.
Well, yeah. So, that's terrifying.
It's taking a gamble.
How does how does anyone do it? This is because of hormones, isn't it? This is why we have hormones rushing through our bodies, so we don't think about it very much.
Yeah, that's what it is. You don't think about it, and then they come out, and then, or they come to you, and then it's like, oh, shit, this is work. Either way, it's work. Even cats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm, like, responsible for your well-being. Ah.
Yeah, my dog is crazy, too. We just have a crazy house over here with honey badgers and a dog and sick, feeble people.
Well, how often do you get sick? I know that's not the point of this conversation, but, like, I'm fascinated now.
I don't get sick that often, but the difference is, like, when me and my six-year-old get sick, it takes us down. Like, we can't function. Like, we're weak. Everything hurt. You know, it's, and when my daughter and my wife get sick, they could carry on with their lives, no problem. Like, my daughter had a fever for 7 days. She had the flu over the winter break just recently. She had a fever for 7 days. You wouldn't have even known this child was sick. Like, still acting like her normal self, except she told us she wanted to go to bed every night, which that doesn't happen. That's how we were she's sick. And, like, Anne, my wife, will just, like, she'll do everything. She'll clean the house. She'll cook a dinner. She'll be up. She gets up at the same time anyway. Like, I'm not getting out of bed.
So I'm more on the honey badger side of just being like, keep going. It doesn't matter. It'll get better. But I'm starting to think as I get older, like, that makes it linger on. That makes things kind of just a bit rickety. Maybe it's better just to go to bed and, like, consume lots of bad TV.
I've done a lot of thinking on this, and I really think that they feel it differently than I do. I really can't function. I can't get up. I can't get out of bed when I'm really sick. Mm. And they can. And that's the difference. I would if I could. But for me, it affects me so terribly. And for them, it's just like this little nuisance. It's interesting. My wife will also, like, slash her finger open and not realize it for an hour. It'll be dripping blood. I'll be like, babe, you have to go. You probably need stitches. Oh my God, it's fine. Give me a Band-Aid. Like, it's like, it's so ridiculous. No, I wrapped it. It's fine. She'll call me from work. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. But I did, like, fall on something and I have a huge gash in my side. I'm making it up. You know what I mean?
She'll be like, I'm permanently lodged in my side.
Yeah. She literally has a BB lodged in her abdomen. That's for another time. Oh. Yeah. Honey badger don't care. Honey badger got shot with a BB gun. Okay. She got shot with a BB gun while she was out at a bar with her girlfriends. Like, they were, like, in their early 20s, you know, and she went and she had gone out to the car to get chapstick for her friend. And as she was leaning over, she felt like a, in her belly. I'm not even kidding.
This was a lesbian bar, right? Like, it had to be a lesbian bar. This
no, it was like a bar in Queens. It was, well, yeah, right. But it was with all her straight friends, but, you know, chapstick, of course. She calls it the lip stuff. So she felt it and she comes back inside the bar and all her friends are drinking. And she says to the bartender, who she knows, I don't know, like, let's call him Scotty. She's like, Scotty, I think I just got hit with a BB gun. And Scotty's like, nobody gets hit with a BB gun in my bar, right? She's like, no. She takes her friend. She's like, Colleen, come to the bathroom with me. So they go to the bathroom. She lifts up her shirt and she is literally dripping blood with a bullet wound in her abdomen. And what would a normal person do at that moment? We're like, what do you think you would do?
I think I would carry on drinking.
Would you?
No, but I know that'll piss you off if I said that.
I was like, you're a honey badger too. No, so she's like, Colleen, look, I told you I was hit with a BB. So she goes back to the bartender and she's like, Scotty, it's true. Look, I got shot with a BB gun at your bar. Wow. Give me a free drink, man. And then, like, carried on drinking through the night and then never did anything about the BB gun until she had to get an MRI like 25 years later. And the MRI kept like malfunctioning, and she was like basically naked in the MRI machine. And they were like, we don't know why it won't work. Like, do you have a metal hip or something? Or do you have anything that could be in your body? She goes, I was shot with a BB gun.
Well, she remembered. Wow.
It's still in there. It just lives in her now. It's like it's an organic part of her. Yeah. So
has she got advice on that?
I think the doctor was like, well, you know, it hasn't bothered you up to this point. It's probably fine. Let's not mess with it.
Wow.
That is my wife in a nutshell. Like,
that's impressive.
There you go. Right? Honey Badger don't care. You have to watch the Honey Badger video now.
I'm going to have to look it up.
And our daughter is like, apple doesn't fall far from the tree there. So she'll just carry on.
And it's not really appropriate for me to ask follow-up questions about the type of establishment she was drinking at, that someone was just carrying around a gun and shot her.
I mean, she was in Queens, New York, so it makes sense.
And that explains everything, does it?
Sort of. You never know what you're going to get outside on the street, because she was outside and a car drove by and somebody just like probably shot her from the window like for fun. It was a BB gun, so. Wow. I know, it's so random. So random. Anyway, yeah. So this was a great episode about family and genetics and how it all ties together. This has been fun. Like, this has been really fun. It's always fun to talk to you, Kay.
Oh, thank you. But I would like to open it up to the listeners, dear listener. Yes. What are your views on everything that we've talked about today? And is this about socialization? Is it about something else? Like, how have you processed and thought through all of your neuroses and thoughts about family?
Yeah, I love that question. And I will put it in, you can ask questions in Spotify. So I'll put it as the question in Spotify, and hopefully we'll get some responses. Folks can even send us a voicemail too. There's many ways to get in contact. So yeah, let us know. I want to know.
And I will say, on behalf of Jamie, podcasting is a lonely, lonely world. So do reach out. If you're thinking, maybe I will, maybe I won't, podcasters love to get feedback. So please do.
Oh, we do. We do. And if you see us on the street and you recognize us, please say hi. Because I want to get recognized. It's like my dream.
Oh, no, not for me. That would weird me out.
Okay, then say hi to Kay. Act like you don't know Kay and walk on. But you can come up to me. I'll give you a hug. Like,
oh, no, I need to say something smart. And then I'll just like have a brain fart and say nothing. So
everybody knows I don't say things that are smart. So it's okay. And then I also want to know, with that question you asked, also, how do you talk in your families about it? This is a recurring theme in our families, and how do we navigate it together? I want to know. I love that. Thank you for that. And Kay, tell everybody where they can find you and listen to your wonderful show.
So Lost Spaces is available wherever you stream podcasts. And if you'd also like to reach out to me or follow me and like kind of find out what I'm doing or my patterns on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook, I'm staying away from X from now. I need to just like get away. I am Lost Spaces Pod across all of those platforms.
All right. Get in touch. Say hi to Kay, but not on the street. Don't do it on the street.
No, not on the street. I need at least 3 weeks notice.
And then everything will be in the show notes. So go check him out. Go click those links and stuff. This has been such a pleasure. And I hope we continue to connect, because I think you're fantastic. Aww.
That's very kind. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you.
Queer Family Podcast.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content
And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in. And I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.